This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. We are studying Paul's letter to the Romans, and in Romans 5:20, Paul said that where sin increases, grace super exceeds. Now men hear that, and it shocks them. That is why Paul starts out Romans 6 this way. What then shall we declare, that we may be persisting in sin, that grace should be increasing? May it not be coming to that. We who died to sin, how shall we still be living in it? Or are you ignorant that whoever are baptized into Christ Jesus are baptized into his death? In other words, if where sin increases, grace superexceeds, may we be persisting in sin that grace may increase. That is to say, if God is glorified by showing grace in the midst of terrible sin, shall we continue doing the sin so that God's grace may be magnified? When people hear the wonders of God's grace, they ask questions like this. Now, some people mock the grace of God with this question, and others who have sensitive hearts and really want to please God ask the same thing. But notice Paul's answer. May it not be coming to that. Then he asks the question, we who died to sin, how shall we still be living in it? So the answer to the question of shall we persist in sin is that we can't. It does not say that we who stopped sinning are dead to sin. It says we died to it, so we can't persist in it. God sees us in Christ, and our relation to sin is his relation to sin. We are dead to it. In Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 through 7, read it on your own, Paul tells us to deaden our members that are upon the earth, and he concludes by saying that we once walked in them and we once lived in these things. So positionally, even though we may commit sins, we can't live in them because we're dead with Christ. Notice he tells these Colossians that they used to live in those things. Go back and read Colossians 3, 5 through 7. But now that they were crucified, entombed, and risen with Christ, they are not living in them any longer. Now let me emphasize this again. We can't persist in sin because we are dead to it. Now stand over the grave of an ex-alcoholic and wave a whiskey bottle over the grave. Will he respond to it? No, he is dead. Thus we too are dead to sin. I am not saying that believers will never sin, but the point is here that we are dead to it. Romans 6 is telling us about how we have been united with Christ, and the more we see what our position is in relation to sin, the more we will live in a way that is right. We still have mortal bodies, and remember, mortality produces sin. But God's way of dealing with sin is different than man's way. God has identified us with Christ. We are baptized into Christ Jesus in his death. When he died, we died. This is not water baptism. We did not die with Christ in the city water system. We died with Christ in God's reckoning 2,000 years ago by a divine baptism. As A.E. Nock points out, while the following argument is against persisting in sin, it confirms the sovereignty of grace. Let us not deny this marvelous doctrine. It will give us rich, exultant liberty, ridding us of the thraldom of sin and giving us power to avoid the very sins which unnatural logic supposes we would eagerly follow now that there is no condemnation, even if we should sin. This and the following chapter, that is Romans 6 and 7, are a digression discussing the effects of the reign of grace, first without and then with law. Deliverance from sin comes not through victory over it, but through death to it. It is useless to struggle against sin or to fight with its practices. Rather, we should acknowledge its force and reckon ourselves as dead through it and to it, yet alive in resurrection where sin has no place. This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com.